CliffCentral.com.
Yebo. CliffCentral.com on a Wednesday morning. It's the 4th of August already. Things are moving very steadily towards that part of the year that we love the most. Summer. All those winter people, you can all, you've had your fill now. I don't want to hear from you. Not for a long time. Simpiwe's got a couple of questions for us this morning, and I think we've got to give them attention. They deserve attention. First thing is, she wants to know, and you can explain this probably better than I can, Simpiwe. Are we overcomplicating our lives with all these terms when it comes to gender and relationships? Now, you remember not so long ago on the show, we ended up talking about people who are aromantic and people who are asexual, people who are trans this and bi that and homo this and hetero that. And it's become totally, totally confusing. There are also now people, I heard about this the other day, there are people who are, they're saying that it's a category to only be attracted to beautiful people. Now, I didn't know that that needed a category all for itself. I don't know what the word is for it, but, you know, why does that need a name? And I suppose this is what you were thinking, but you explain what you mean.
Yeah, so I'm a bit overwhelmed with all these terms for everything.
Yeah.
Like there's a cis man, cis woman, asexual, non-binary, binary. And then it's like pronouns. You can't just say him, her. It's like them, they. It's just a lot. Like I feel like I'm relearning how to speak to people at a big age of 20-something. Because for me, it's quite simple. It's either male or female. And if you look like a man, I shall address you as a man. Ooh. And if you look female, I shall address you as a female. And if you say, hey, girl, like, oh, I don't want that, then I'd be like, oh, okay, hi. But I'm just saying that it gets to a point when even if you greet someone, you're like, hi, sir. There's so much uproar to be like, why are you assuming it's a sir? Why? There's too many terms.
I think what's happened is that people are so self-absorbed now. And especially since the lockdowns, you've suddenly, a lot of people have realized they don't actually do anything. They're not very, they don't have a skill. So their only skill is looking inward the whole time. And they've become so self-analytical and self-absorbed and self-centered, really, that it's all about them the whole time. And they're thinking about what to call themselves and creating new categories. And, you know, please look at me. I'm special. That's really all I can think that it is. And so much of it is unnecessary and stupid. It's just stupid. Here's the question that you put somewhere in that explanation, which I thought, wow, you've hit on something really important here. You said, you know all these terms, like there's cis and there's bi and there's homo and there's hetero and there's this and there's that. And everybody has a term for everything now. But how useful, how does that stuff serve you? Is it adding value to your life or is it making your life more complicated? Because usually that's a good sign that you should either do something or you shouldn't. Is this going to improve my life? How? Or is it going to take value and time away from me and not reward me in any significant way? I don't really care what category anybody else is. In fact, I don't even care who anybody else is having sex with. It's none of my business. Unless somehow I'm tangentially involved because it's someone close to me or it's someone who I care about quite a lot, I don't see how any of that impacts on my life. And therefore, it's not going to add value to my day. It's going to take up more time. And I probably shouldn't spend any effort at all thinking about it. What do you think, Mbolelo?
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't understand. Unless you're a biologist and there's reproduction involved, why does that matter? Or is it that important in identity? Like I wish I could sit down, because for me, whenever I get caught up in these sorts of conversations with generally the NGO kids who just sit in Rosebank and do nothing, is that they tend to all head this way with the blue hair, and they generally all have that stuff. Is now like I walk away because like. I don't have time for this. You're not doing anything, because maybe I'm not smart enough to understand how idiosyncratic you think you are, but I don't get it other than basically I don't know, it becomes a, it's a crass term, but it becomes a bit of a mental masturbation festival where it's actually, it's super meaningless.
Well, maybe this stuff has replaced personality, because a lot of the people who are so absorbed with these labels, Simpiwe, and you could tell me if you've, because you've maybe met some of these people and you have some reference point, Bulelo, you can as well. And anybody who's listening, actually. I find a lot of these people who are obsessed with this identity stuff don't have a lot of personality. And this stuff is filling a hole in their lives that used to be for personality or for interests or for hobbies or for skills or for things. Like, you know, we speak to people on Collectomania every week. Don't tell me those people aren't interesting. And not one of them have we been interested in their identity. They're interesting people. Collect rosaries and Princess Diana dolls, and they have interesting things to talk about. You know, that there are people who read amazing books who you can have really interesting conversations with. There are people who have quirky personalities. They make you laugh. These are not the people we're talking about when we talk about these labels. I feel like the labels are actually making up for a lack of personality and character. That's what I think.
And I'd like to know what you think, Simpiwe, but for me, just because of the type of person I am, is your gender and your skin color are generally not interesting to me.
Boring.
And if they are interesting, and if you present them as the most interesting thing about you, I'm not interested in you, because I'm interested in what can you learn? Can you think? What do you think? How did you get to that position?
It's like CrossFit or veganism. So what do you think?
So for me personally, it's, if you want to go by him, her, they, whatever, that's great. Sure. My biggest issue is now, how do I navigate this world? Because, for instance, I was taught that when you see a boy, it's a him. And now when you're trying to even address things, or you're addressing people, be it on Twitter, be it in person, be it wherever, it's like, oh, hold up, I can't say this, I can't say that. Like, there's so many terms now that even I'm like, okay, I'm lost. Like, what do I just say? Hi there, hi them. And that's the confusing part. In as much as I'm not trying to be in that world, we kind of all getting forced to be in that world, because A, the terms are being created, and eventually it's going to trickle down in schools and life orientation. They're going to be like, these are the pronouns and this is that. And I'm just trying to understand, how do I then interact with people when, for me, if you are a boy, I'm going to say boy. If you look like a girl, I'm going to say girl.
That's so offensive.
Not, whether you're a trans woman or a trans man, how you look is how I will address you.
You know,
and that's also in itself a flaw, because people are like, oh, you can't do that. And it's like, it's a lot. It's so much. Like,
the funniest thing is, like, we were talking earlier about how blue hair or whatever is a warning sign. To me, the ultimate warning sign is if you go into someone's social media, and they in their biography, they have their pronouns. I'm like, ooh, there's no way I can get along with this person. That's pretty much a red rag to a bull. I'm like, no, this is not going to happen. Sorry, I know that's a terrible generalization. There may be lovely people who've got their pronouns up on their bio because they want to be fun and friendly, and, you know, they want to be available as a shoulder to cry on, or as someone who you can talk to about anything. If I see the pronouns, I just run a mile. Listen to this story.
But
Shani says, I know a gay guy who was so into a girl when he was younger. Now the woman is a man and they're together. I think they can fall pregnant, can't they?
Well, that
happened
on Oprah.
That's a complicated love
story.
So
complicated.
That happened on Oprah. Remember that? No. When the guy, it was like, oh, the story is this man is pregnant. No. It was a transgender woman.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, a miracle has happened. A man is pregnant. No. It's a transgender woman. So
to Simpiwe's point, if you can be polite. You know, if someone wants to be called him and her, so what? No skin off my back. I can do that. I can call you whatever you want me to call you. If I say Simpiwe and you say to me, no, it's Sipiwe, then I'll say, oh, sorry, I got it wrong. Sorry, Sipiwe, right? Same thing goes for a pronoun or anything else. So on an individual level, you can ask me to call you something and I will usually be only too happy to do that. The problem is when you force me to do it, or you hold me legally responsible, or the government gets involved, and if I call you the wrong thing, I get punished for it. That to me sounds like you're going too far. And if you want me to do that in school or in university as a kid, or you want me to do that in the workplace, now you're starting to encroach on my freedoms as an ordinary citizen. And on an individual basis, I have no problem doing that. I just think, you know, if you want me to call you shithead, I'll call you shithead. If that's your choice, it's totally cool. I'm okay with that. But don't legislate or regulate or force me to put up with your own fantasy world. If you want to be called mushroom kind, and you expect me to call you, a seven-syllable long word every time I see you, now you're really starting to like push the limits of what is politeness. And that's where I think it breaks down. I have no issues with being polite with person A or B on an individual basis. But the moment it starts getting more complicated than that, then you're starting to take up my day. And I have better things to do than get your pronouns right every 5 minutes, especially when they change
and also,
like that.
Yeah. And also, we've done this magical thing in the Western world, largely, is that we've agreed to something called democracy. And everybody keeps telling me it's the will of the masses. It's like, excuse me, 98% of people, from a stat I've recently read, right? I was reading an article this, 98% of people are still what you might call conservative and are straight male and refer to themselves as he and she. So most people we still encounter, contrary to what the media tell us, an overwhelming majority, 98% I read, are still just cisgender, straight, he and she. Like the transgender community is so tiny. And it doesn't mean I'm anti-transgender, by the way. I'd like have at it. So that's cool. But just be aware that most of our world is operating as he and she. And you can't persecute me. And the evolutionary pattern is the brain learns patterns, right? That's what we do. And that's how we see the world. We don't see the world actually how it's happening. We see it the way our minds have formed it. And 98% of the world is he and she. Just so, like, that's a stat I read. I mean, you can maybe...
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. I mean, it's a tiny proportion, of the people. Tracy says, a label often does the heavy lifting for shit personality. That's according to Jim Jeffries. I love that. That's kind of what I was saying earlier. I think that's much more succinctly put. It could be a way for people to draw attention to themselves, says MB. Like they, them, and their... Who is them and they? It's all very confusing. And also, you know, I have a problem with people who pervert the language just for their own importance. You know what I mean? Like I'm a really particular linguist. I like good grammar and I like language to be used in the most precise way possible, because that way everybody will understand what you mean. A lot of people are misunderstood in this world because they don't explain themselves properly, or they're not understood properly by their audience. Now, them and they are usually used to describe groups of people. And if you pervert that to be a singular person, you are actually twisting the language. And you don't have the right to do that. The language is not going to be molded to your liking as an individual. You must fit in with the language. Now, you can invent new words, but you can't make me use them. Then you can change the meaning of words, but you can't make me understand them. In other words, as much as you consider the language to be plastic and malleable, there are some things that are stock standard and have been since Shakespeare's time, certainly in English. And there are certain words that exist and don't exist in every language in the world, from isiZulu right through to Azerbaijani. And if you think that you're important enough to effect a change in all of them, good luck to you. Let's see how that goes. Let's see how that works with that 98% that Mbulelo is talking about. Paul says, what if someone looks like a man in a woman's body? What will you call them? I suppose whatever they want to be called, but you might make a mistake every now and then, and they've got to be forgiving about that because they're not in the majority. There was once an uproar.
And by the way, that happens, right?
Yes.
Like that does happen, to be very clear, is that some women, and they can still give, you know, they are women biologically, is that they have extra testosterone, right? And so the features are exaggerated, jawline and sort of shoulders and things like that. So, yeah, whatever they want. And who cares, for goodness sake? Are they a nice person? Oh.
Yeah. Derek says, is it not perhaps a type of showing that you are one in a tribe in an effort to gain social brownie points? How many people actually believe half of the utter bullshit coming out of their mouths? Well, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. The only people who should be called they are horizontally challenged ones. Cabello being hard about the big people there. Nasty. Michelle says, maybe the people that want to be called something else should wear a label like a badge. Well, that's
oh no,
maybe, but you know, it makes me think of,
yeah, no, we had a little thing in
the 1930s. Yeah, not great.
39 to 45, that didn't go so well last time. Let's not go back.
When we make an exception to the rule, we make everyone a fool, says Michael. Robin says, who cares about your crazy sexual perversions anyway? That's a good point. If people want to twist the language to, sorry, Matthew, it doesn't make much sense. I can't figure that out. Gareth, you use less instead of fewer 3 times a week, you hypocrite. Yeah, but I don't know how that works. I'm the first to admit it. And I don't want to hear from you either about it. Go and fuck yourself with fewer and less. I don't care, Carl. Thank you. Onkopotse says here, there's so many interesting comments coming through here from people about like what you have to do. Women have distinct features that let you know. You don't have to be horrible to people is usually a good guide. You can be kind, but people mustn't have unrealistic and unreasonable expectations of you, because your whole world is not focused on them and their identity. You also have stuff to do in the day. You have, you know, to repair your car. You have to feed your children. You have to make sure that you do the work that you have on your agenda for the day. You're not wandering through the world thinking about them the whole time like they are. And I feel like that's what's going on a lot of the time right now. People are just so into themselves.
Yeah. I think I've said this before. Like, it's why I don't like political correctness, because you can never really get down to it, right? Mm. For me, is I don't have to be mean to anybody. I try and roll like that. But I also don't have to be nice to you. Yeah. And nobody wants to hear that part. Is mm-hmm. you know, everyone's told, and it does worry me when I hear it being told to young children, that you're born special. You are not. It is your duty to make yourself pleasant. It is your duty to make yourself lovable. It is your duty to be pleasant to those around you. You are not some divine creature that just because you live, you are special. You are not. You must be polite. You must, you know, these things are important. And then we'll come correct to you as well. And I think I see a lot of, okay, well, I'm whatever letter I pick and I can be a douchebag and there's nothing you can say about it because I'm that thing. No. As a human, let's get down to the bottom line. Are you a dickhead? I'm going to treat you like that. Are you a nice person? I'm going to treat you like that. And I don't care whether you're gay, straight, trans, whatever it may be. It's got nothing to do with that.
Simpiwe Eleutherius says, if Simpiwe is confused, imagine how confused Gen X parents are raising Gen Z kids in this nightmare.
It's absolutely horrible. Like, it's like I'm all for like people wanting to live in their truth, but it's also like, yo, this is a lot. Like, these are so many terms. We went from boy, girl to like this, that, trans woman, trans man. And it's so many terms that even I'm just like, wow. And this is basically the next generation. And that's my thing. It's like, they're going to be speaking I know that my generation speaks English that we don't even understand at times, but the next generation, I don't even know if we're going to be able to understand what they say, because people are going to, hi, I'm Simpiwe. I'm a cis woman who identifies as
gender non-binary.
Gender non-binary. Yeah. Like, it's like, wow. Like, that's a long sentence. You could have just been like, hi, I'm Simpiwe, you know,
but
and I'm black,
I think...
female. Done.
But even the whole black thing, because, you know, if we're talking about sex and gender, and they're the same thing to me. I don't know the difference. And you're talking about sexual preference, then race is also the same. You have to treat it the same way. Otherwise, we're not being consistent. And then you're going to expect me to call someone like Rachel Dolezal, who's quite clearly a white woman. She's got two white parents, and she's, you know, she, in her head, she thinks she's black. But now I have to think and talk to her in a certain way because she thinks she's black. That's crazy. It shouldn't, confusing. Again, totally, as Mbulelo said at the beginning of this whole conversation, and thanks for opening this can of worms, Simpi, where we're having a perfectly happy morning until this. As Mbulelo said earlier, like, whatever you label yourself, it's your business. And actually, no one cares. And those are the least interesting things about you. Yeah.
And, touché.
And as Charles, yeah, as Charles says, or you could just say, well, that's interesting, and then move swiftly along with your own life. Exactly. Yeah, there we go. All right, very nice, Charles, bringing a nice end to that point. All right, there is obviously some stuff happening on Cliff Central Sport that Mbulelo wants to tell us about. The English Premier League begins next week, so bye-bye to everyone for 10 months, all those soccer widows.
Oh. Auf Wiedersehen. Shout out to everyone I know for the from next weekend, I'm not interested in anything but the English Premier League, and I actually don't care what you're doing with your life. I don't want to know that you broke up with your girlfriend. I just don't want to know. And to my mom, if she doesn't call me and see me in the next 2 weeks, I'll see you in May next year. That is it. They're like, it's the greatest show on earth. Nobody matters besides this event. So.
This is why we're not friends, Mbulelo. This is why. Because in a friendship, you need to water it.
Yeah.
You know, you need to give.
Oh,
and you
my
see.
Gosh.
And in as much as I know that you're into sports, you also need to make time for other people and what they're interested. Imagine if we were friends and I'm like, well, I'm into bowling and I want to go and it's bowling season.
Bowling all the
and
time.
All the time. Like, Mbulelo, and now you're telling us that we're only going to see you next year. Can you imagine? So much happens in people's lives and you basically saying, I don't care until this event is over. Like,
selfish
wow,
bastard.
Being your friend is a lot.
Whoa. Why would I be your friend if you're not into football? That doesn't make any sense what you're saying.
But you see, even that in
so
itself,
all your friends, all your friends are football fans. All of them.
So you
all
guys are all going to disappear into this cave and you're all going to watch the soccer and you're all like, oh my gosh, this is the only thing I'm worried about for the next few months.
Yes. Oh, I don't see a problem with this. I've never understood.
Hold on.
How do people socialize that don't watch sport? I've never understood that. Like, what do you do?
Okay, so clearly you're in the minority in this case, believe it or not, because Simpiwe and I both completely understand how you could be friends with someone and not talk about sport all the time. In fact, to me, when we start talking about sport, then my friendship may have run out of runway.
But I'm also, what I'm saying is I don't understand how you're so comfortable to say, well, there's this new season of sports starting, so you're not going to see me for the next few months. And I'm saying if we were friends, I'd understand that you're into sports, but I also need to talk to my friend now and again, and I need to see what's going on, and we need to check in. And you're basically saying, I'm not going to have that for the next few months until this is over,
lady,
and that's unfair.
Lovely Lady Lee says, Simpiwe, it's not a marriage, it's a friendship. Ooh,
but friendships need to be watered. Ooh. No. Friendships need to be watered, and you need to be able to make time for the people that matter to you. I don't call everyone my friend. It's okay if I don't see an acquaintance in 3, 4, 5 months. But the minute I say, oh, Mbulelo, you're my friend, that means I want to spend time with you now and again. I'm not saying every weekend. Also, don't get that twisted. But now you're saying a whole 6 months.
What Simpi was saying is almost exactly what so many football wives do say. I'm not talking about wives of footballers. I'm talking about women who are married to men who love football, for example. She's not being unreasonable, Mbulelo. There are a lot of these guys, and they get so involved in their football season that they actually just disappear. And their wives are like, hey, I thought there was a relationship going on here. So to go back to the point that was made a little bit earlier about how it's not, this is lovely Lady Lee's comment, that it's not a marriage, it's a friendship. What if you are one of those women who's married to a guy like Mbulelo, who's totally absorbed by the football? You basically don't have a husband then, or a boyfriend, for however many nights that the football's on. And you know, how do you just switch off to that for 6 months? It's ridiculous.
Sure.
It's a real thing. And it's a great question. I read a book by a really great sports broadcaster. He actually kind of shaped it, a guy called Skip Bayless, right? His wife wrote a book An incredible book about how to be married to somebody who's addicted to sport. And she made some compelling points, and I wish she was born 25 years later. You know, shout out to Skip. Because she gets
What's her name? Skip Bayless.
No, his name is Skip Bayless. She's got an Italian name. I forget what her name is.
She's great. So you're not alone, Bulelo. Look here. Dude 69 says, I'm with you. Set those friends free to go and play in the traffic.
You know what? Sport is the last.
I'm going to see you if there's a game playing. Is that what you're saying?
Sport is the last appointment viewing left on television. It is still the English Premier League is the biggest TV show in the world, followed by the NFL. They are the only ones every weekend that are doing triple Game of Thrones numbers, and the Premier League's a different beast. You want to see me? It's perfect. You know what? Don't even ask. Saturday, Sunday, you know exactly where I'll be. Come and hang out.
Yeah, no, you're not.
It's perfect.
And during that time, you're going to be not able to talk to you at all because you're going to be glued to the TV. Yeah.
An hour and a half before, an hour and a half after, and then I'm going home because I need to rewatch the highlights.
Another,
no time whatsoever.
A different Bulelo says the girlfriends get a short window during international breaks, which are a bit of a heartbreak for football lovers.
I don't want to explain to you what that is. It's a nightmare.
You know what, guys? I'm just so pleased that none of this is an issue to me. I don't have a relationship in the first place. So I don't have to be explaining myself. If I want to sit and watch TV series all day on Saturday, I can do it. If I want to sleep, I can do it. And I know that this is probably pissing off all those people who are married and have kids, because those are real responsibilities and you can't turn away from them, no matter how much you want to watch sports or sleep or whatever it is you want to do. I can do whatever I like. That is the way I want my life to be. And yeah, Bulelo wants to fill his days with sport. That's great. Simpiwe, you might want to have someone in your life, and that's also great. But we all can decide, right? What a great time to be alive. Because there used to be a time when none of us got to decide anything. Someone else was in charge of us all the time. Whether it was someone in a tall hat, someone with a crown on, someone with a ring on their finger, didn't matter what how important you thought you were. You had duties to perform. You were not your own person. So just do your thing. I'm not going to judge anybody. If you're in a relationship with someone who loves sport and you found a balance, explain. Tell us how. Because I think lots of people want to be there. Let's turn our attention to Jaco Voigt, who you've met before on our show before. And if you've been listening to Unbundled, which is on cliffcentral.com, it's a great show. And that's brought to you by Catalytic, which is Jaco's business. They basically demystify the technology and connectivity that we need in our world these days. So Jaco's been doing that. They explore cloud. They explore communications, internet security, all of that stuff. And if you haven't listened to the show, you need to start listening to it. But I wanted to get him on the show this morning, on our show, to talk about how difficult it has become, especially during coronavirus. And, you know, Jaco's one of those people who hasn't missed a beat during coronavirus. He's been there, that the shows have gone on. He's been putting out really interesting content, and he hasn't let anything get in his way. But there are a lot of businesses that are struggling at the moment. And if you're not online and your business isn't yet able to translate whatever they do into some sort of digital form, you're going to find it much, much harder, especially during times like lockdowns, to survive. So Jaco's come up with a pretty good idea. Hey, Jaco, how are you?
Good morning, everybody.
Nice to see you.
It was quite an interesting family meeting that preceded this.
How's that?
I'm a little bit tired now.
Are you also a sports fan?
I don't understand anything about football. When I'm close to my old man, I'll watch a bit of rugby. But unfortunately, I think I have to admit, I've been married for so long. I think the relationship won. So one up for you, Simpiwe.
Yeah. So in other words, I mean, like you would be on her side and say you've got to sacrifice some of the selfishness that Mulelo like evidences here, because if you want a relationship to be successful, and he's never had a successful relationship, neither have I, right, Mulelo? Otherwise, we'd still be in them. Jaco's saying you need to, it's a bit of balance, right? Give and take.
Well, Well, we spoke about it yesterday, Gareth. Nothing's for free. So there's no act that is truly altruistic. So they have to exchange.
Now, you say that, but you've come up with a pretty good plan here that really could help a lot of small and medium enterprises in South Africa. We're going to launch something new with Yaku and with Catalytic in the next while. And it's not going to be about them or their business at all. It's going to be about you and your business. So this is your idea. Tell us what you want to achieve here and why you think we need this.
So, Gareth, I think, I think you said it earlier, you know, we as South Africans, we've been through a lot. There's been multiple lockdown events, unrest, all that type of stuff. And I think we've got reason to be generally just in a, I almost want to say, in a negative space. But, being in business, like Queen said, the show must go on. And what we decided, what we want to do is, do something positive and give business a boost. So we're going to invite businesses to submit to us. And I think that's the thing that we spoke about yesterday. Sometimes if you look at, there's nobody more passionate about a business than the MD or the owner.
Yep.
We spoke about some of the lame billboards on the highway, if I can say that.
Yeah.
So we want to invite people to come onto the show and just come and tell us about your business. It's all about whoever joins the show and tell people what their business does, why it exists, what problems it solves, and just a general positive boost for people that's passionate about business and looking forward and wanting to build something special.
I think that's amazing. So essentially, you're going to create a platform where other people can tell you about their businesses, and we can inform our whole community and much wider communities too about those little businesses, what they do, and maybe you want to look for suppliers and partners who are doing those things, who are really working on the ground, not these big corporations, because that's not where we're going to grow the economy, right? We're going to grow the economy by
exactly that.
Small and medium enterprises. And I mean, a lot of people talk about this stuff, but you guys actually want to do it. And I know that you help a lot of small and medium enterprises with your business these days, Yaku. And I know we're probably talking about stuff that you discuss every week on Unbundled, but if you're not online, you're really going to find it hard to get involved in the modern economy and to stake your claim and to keep growing. What you guys do is you provide the infrastructure and the backbone of what so many companies need when it comes to technology, right? Explain that, because maybe that'll get people thinking, hell, I need to be on this show, not just because it's a great place for me to talk about my business and to get some free advertising, but also because Yaku could maybe give me some advice about how we can get our company up and running in a technical way to be ready for the future.
Yeah, thanks, Gareth. So I think, and even from my own perspective, you know, as the show has progressed from where we started, I think virtually every single conversation comes back to the fact that If you don't embrace online and I almost want to say digitize yourself,
right,
you're going to get left behind. And I've got to be honest, I think when we started the show, I would have said, well, probably this discussion is not for everybody. if I'm selling industrial pipes somewhere in the East Rand or whatever, it doesn't have to change. The past 30 years is fine. But I think as every conversation that we have, it just becomes more evident that's what needs to happen. And what we really try and do is give people an objective view of what's happening in the industry so people can make up their mind. And I think probably the biggest problem or that we're trying to solve with Unbundled is people don't know what they don't know. So if we put the information at their fingertips, then, it's easier for them to make decisions. And I think that's it's the same principle that this new initiative is based upon. There's some really, really big hidden gems out there and people just don't know about them. So and that's why we came up with that.
Are you looking for any specific businesses or just anybody who's got, somebody who works in a township who makes homemade food, right through from that person to, a major company that puts down infrastructure. Are you happy to talk to all of them and to have all of them come on and explain? Yeah. So, okay, the best way to do this, by the way, if you're listening to us now and you go, all right, I'm convinced, I want to get involved, the best way to do this is contact@cliffcentral.com. That's the email address. So if you email us right now and tell us what your business is, and we've done this before on cliffcentral.com in terms of, you know, talking to small businesses and giving them a place where they could tell their story, but not on the scale that Yaku wants to do it. So if you're interested and you think that your business needs a little bit of a push, maybe you want to explain to people in the market what you do, and you think that you've got a product or a service that's worth selling, then tell us about it. contact@cliffcentral.com, contact@cliffcentral.com, and we will make sure that Yaku gets all of those emails, because he's looking to talk to you about your business, find out what it is that you do, and really shine the light on you, not on anybody else, not on us at Cliff Central or on him at Catalytic, but really to give you the opportunity to shine.
Yeah, I think anybody that's interesting and passionate and unique and innovative, that's what we're looking for.
Fantastic. I'm going to put the email address up on the screen now as well, just so that you can send us your emails and tell us a little bit about your business. Obviously, in the email, give us a bit of a summary, a little précis of what it is that you do, so that we can also make sure that we're ready to put you on and make the best use of the time. But if you do want to do this, then now is the time to strike. It's contact@cliffcentral.com. Send us an email to that address, and we will put you in the runnings and make sure that you get hold of Yaku and that he gets hold of you, and we can start showing off what it is that you do. And remember, Unbundled with Catalytic demystifies the technology of connectivity for everybody, explores cloud, communications, security, and we'll find out more as we listen to that show with Yaku going forward too. So Yaku, it sounds great. And I'm thrilled that we can do this with you guys. And you know what? We may just discover the next big business that started small. We may just discover the next Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos here. I mean, they didn't know they were going to be successful when they started, right?
We hope.
God knows.
I think it's there. I think it's somewhere in there.
We need these successes in South Africa. We got a lot of problems to solve. And there are plenty of opportunities where there are problems to be solved.
100%. And I mean, everybody knows the only way we're going to do that is employment. And it's, mm-hmm. it's small business, small and medium business that drives that engine, you know.
Right.
So we want risk takers, people that's passionate and want to build something positive. Definitely so.
Awesome stuff, Yaku. Always good to see you. And make sure that you tune in to listen to Unbundled. You can find all the podcasts on cliffcentral.com. Yaku always has really interesting guests in there with him too. They talk about all the things that may be central to digitizing and taking your business online. And Catalytic, all their details are up there as well. If you want to find out how to get hold of them, especially if you need that help, then they are the people to talk to. Awesome, Yaku. Good to see you. Thanks so much, man.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thanks, team.
No probs. Good to see you. There's that email address. Now you have it. You have no excuse. Get on it immediately. Get it. Love it.
Yaku said, don't fight anymore. I don't know if you caught that at the end.
We're not fighting. We're arguing like most families do. And he did call it a family meeting, right? So
yeah, he's a super funny guy. He's one of, listen, I do like some of the clients at Cliff Central, but he's an electrifying character.
Yeah, no, we've got such great people who we work with, and it makes it so easy to do things that actually have impact. You know what he's talking about here? You know, most people are interested in what they can get out of it, and we sat in a meeting yesterday. He's like, let's see what we can help other people do. That's where you see people who have got a growth mentality and who see the big picture.
You know what makes him quite cool to me is, you know, there's the cheesy, like sort of over patriotic person, but he's like just the only way I can describe him, because it's just so organic. It comes out of him, the way he talks about having business in South Africa. You know, every now and then we'll have a laugh and a chat. He's like, he's just a lacquer South African. Like I can't describe it any other way.
Yeah.
Like he's just a lacquer oak, and it's amazing to see what he's done and employ the people he has and build that business and just be a lacquer oak.
He's got a great sense of
humor.
And
he loves South Africa.
He's got a great sense of humor too. And I think he drives his people crazy at Catalytic, because they always, I'll have a chat to him, and then I'll look around the room and everybody else is going, oh, We're going to bite off. We're going to bite off a whole lot more that we have to chew now. But that's what leadership should mean for a company is growth and moving in new directions. And he's certainly not scared of that. All right.
And he's got energy. He's got such awesome energy. I love people like that.
So at the risk of having another argument this morning, Bolelo has a really great story about when couples discuss money. And you've already told us about one or two stories when it comes to your friends who seem to have the most bizarre relationships in the world. So when do you discuss money, upfront or once things get serious? Because we all know that old story that the prenup, especially if you are serious, and you're getting married, the prenup is not for when the times are good. It's there for when the times are bad. So tell us the story and we'll try and see what this is all about.
So a friend of mine who, God bless her, I've known her for 28, 29 years or whatever. So gives me a call 2 nights ago. And she says to me, oh, like, what did you do on the weekend and whatever? She just yaps all the time. You know, I love her. So I put up with it.
Oh, my God. Imagine being his friend. This is how he talks about you behind your back. Yeah, she just yaps. Yaps all the time. Yeah, go on.
She listens to the show. Anyway, yep. So I call her Schnitzel and I say, all right, Schnitzel, blah, blah, you kind of. And then I say, okay, what did you do this weekend? And she goes, no, I went away with someone new that I met. I haven't told you about him. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. And she's like, no, well, I paid for the thing. So I said, wait a minute now. What do you mean you paid for the whole weekend? Like, and they just kind of met. Yeah. And I was like, wait a minute. Well, because she's just this person, like she loves love. And I hate to stereotype, but typically Latin. So she's Portuguese or Portuguese South African. So she loves the idea of romance and all of that. And she'll do that. It's her nature. You know, she'll harm herself to help anyone. She'd give. So I'm like, wait.
Oh, no.
What do you mean you paid for the weekend with some guy you don't know? Explain to me. And in her mind, she's just like, no. What do you mean? I'm like, if you start like this, where do you think this is going? Like, where do you think somebody who lets you pay for a weekend on the first time you guys go away together, where do you see this going? Like, grand, how do you see this going? And she was so taken aback as though I'm the horrible person. I was like, what the hell are you thinking? What are you thinking? And I had to kind of sit her down and talk her through this because she just sees romance, this person. And that's when I asked her and I thought to myself,
so hold on.
What? She never ever.
What did she do here? She paid for a weekend away.
And she tells me she paid like for all the meals or for whatever, like his wallet was never coming out kind of thing. But she was just like, okay, we're having a good time. Yeah.
Look,
there's so many songs that I can refer to right now. Like, I don't want no scrub,
mannequin, get no love from me.
Hey. Just that of his best friends,
trying to holler
at me.
That's the type of guy I don't want. Let me first start off with this. I am very much old school. I would like, a guy to pay for most of the things if I'm in a relationship with him. With that said, in this case, because they don't know each other, I think it's only fair that it could have been a 50-50 setup.
Right.
I don't think one party should have paid for everything, especially since they don't know each other like that. As you said, she is setting, the precedence of going forward. This is how it's going to be. And that's not what I want in a relationship. Until we get married and then we can talk about you pay 70%, I pay 30%. But that's my thing, that it's cringe that they were talking about it. And then he didn't even be like, okay, cool. I will take this and I will. No, it just talks about the kind of man that he is as well. Not just financially, in the relationship, I don't think he's going to lead you. He's not going to be that guy. He's going to be like, yeah, babes, you need to go do this. You need to go do this. He's just going to chill on the sofa and be like, hey, it's another weekend. No, red flag.
I don't know. As a guy, I'm pretty old school as well. I'm happy to pay for the meal, especially if it's a date and I'm taking you out on a date. There's no way I'm going to let you pay. I mean, if you really argue with me, then we can go 50-50 at a max, but I'm not going to. And normally I won't have an argument with anybody about that because I think it's, if I invited you on a date, then it's me to pay. full stop. Even with friends, I'll get into an argument with you occasionally if you try to pay. But the fact is, for a weekend away with someone you don't know, and he's happy to just let you pay, like his wallet doesn't come out once, that tells me more about him than it does about her. Generosity, we must never punish generosity, because I think generosity is a great human characteristic. And if someone is generous, that usually to me indicates they're the kind of person I do want in my life. I feel like I'm a generous person most of the time, and I'm happy to pay. It doesn't actually matter how it breaks down, 50-50, me most of the time, you most of the time. But if someone doesn't even reach for their wallet, that's telling me a whole lot about them. And if you're a guy and you're being treated to a weekend away, you pick up the tab for the meals, you pick up the tab for everything else. Usually it's the other way around. You know, the girl doesn't reach for her wallet. I know lots of girls who just have spent a lot of their lives getting stuff for free. And maybe they're lucky. Maybe they're really pretty. Maybe they've got great personalities. Good for them. I feel generosity should be rewarded, not punished. And we shouldn't say to your friend, Mbulelo, that she's an idiot or anything. Even though here in the comments, Annette,
I did say that to her.
Annette, you did. You called her an idiot. Annette says, I've done that too. I took this guy to Royal Livingston in Zambia and I paid for the whole lot. What an idiot. Now, I suppose, Annette, you're saying you're the idiot because you paid. But I don't think you're an idiot. I think you were taken advantage of. But being generous is not idiots don't, they don't pay because
when it comes to money.
Here's why I'm so offended by what you guys have just spoken about. So we're on polar opposite ends here. You know, Gareth is, and my friend, she's so generous. It's revolting how nice she is actually at the core as a person. It makes me sick. She's so naturally nice. But it's like, for me, everybody must, for me, I will never ever, I would not entertain being in a relationship with somebody who doesn't work. Like, for me, it's a non-starter.
Mm.
Right up front, I'm always very clear. Let's talk about how you handle money. I like to get that conversation out up front.
Mm.
Because if it, money is not a thing until it's a thing. It is the one thing that it's not a thing until it's a thing. So let's deal with that issue.
How does that conversation go? When you ask, how do you deal with money? What kind of responses do you usually get?
Taken aback because most people don't talk about money. But my first question always is, how much do you save a month? Like, what do you do with your money? If we're going to get serious in a relationship, tell me what you do with your money. Because everybody's invested in their money. If you ever deal with people, right, you can offend people in every way about how they look. Once you get near someone's money, you start to see the real character come out in people, right? Because that's how I stay safe. That's how I look after my kids. That's how I pay for whatever it may be. So money for me is just in the world we live in is a good indicator of getting really close to that person and who they are. And I like to do that up front. How you conduct your money, right, for me kind of lets me know what your headspace is. And then I can kind of extrapolate whether this is going to work or not for me. Otherwise, if you're not good with money, it's a non-starter for me.
But these questions that you ask on the onset, I feel personally, if you were like asking me those on like the second or third date, I'd be like, why do you want to know? Because it has nothing to do with you at this point, whether I'm good at it, whether I'm not.
Almost like you're
almost
like you're a Nigerian scammer who wants to know how I deal with my money, so you take it.
You know what? But first date, we pay 50-50 or it's nothing anyway. So I'm not big on the, I'm not a romantic, like 50-50 straight away. Let's keep this thing moving. And if it's not going to work, no worries.
Great. What I'm saying is this for me personally, right? I would like to think I manage my money pretty well, but I'm not trying to have money conversations with someone A, I don't know, and B, that I'm comfortable with, right? Mm. So that's the difference is when we're out on a date, if you ask me out on a date, hey, do I have that expectation that you would pay? Yes. Do I have my purse with me just in case you can't? Yes. When we're doing weekend aways and now we're going to be together for 3 days, it's very important for us to talk about, okay, are you paying for accommodation and I'll pay for transportation? Are you paying for this and I'll pay for that? It has nothing to do with how I manage my money. It's just how you and I are going to
manage the weekend.
You know, And that for me is very important. So, it says a lot.
Bolelo, have you ever had
for that guy?
Have you ever had someone say to you at the beginning when you say, let's have the money conversation, they say like, no, I refuse to have that conversation with you. None of your business.
Absolutely, I have. And great, then you're not the one for me. Because I want to get to the bottom line. I want to get to the bottom line. Don't.
Jesus, it must be
absolutely.
Harsh.
Absolutely. And I'm not joking. Gareth. I have had these people, and I've met people who are perfectly comfortable talking about it. And we take it from there. So
see, I was also,
you sound like a gold digger, hey?
Yeah, you do. I know that's not what you're interested in. You want to know what where the lines are. You like very clearly defined parameters. I get that, but that's such a complex thing to ask, because I was always taught growing up that it is vulgar to talk about money. It belies some kind of parsimony. It's like you're very you're maybe too obsessed with money. I know you're not. I know that your reasons are perfectly sensible if you sit down and talk about them the way we are now on the show. But if you sat down with some girl and you've known her a couple of weeks and you say, right, let's have the money conversation now, that's going to scare the hell out of her. It'll scare the hell out of a guy.
It goes both ways. It goes both ways. And for me, mm-hmm. I just want to get to the bottom line. Like, are we going to do this thing or not? And if it offends you, this is pretty much how I'm going to be the rest of the relationship anyway, because I like to get down to things.
Pranola says, okay, that's too personal on a date. Over time, it's fine.
Fair enough.
Timing is everything.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting story from Michael. He says, the French used to have sex before the first date and then start or stop the relationship from there. They reckon if sober sex doesn't work to start with, money becomes too much of an issue.
That's a good one. That's good.
That woman who took the guy to the Royal Livingston, how do I get her number, says Carl. That's a net. Tracy says, because I liked what Simpiwe said there about, like, she takes a wallet in case, because you never know what's going to happen, even though she probably expects the guy to pay on the first date, which is not an unreasonable expectation for a girl. If the guy expects the girl to pay on the first date, to me that seems a bit...
Whoa.
I'm running for the hills. I am, you and I is not happening. Like, I will pay, but best believe I'm not speaking to you after that date. Like, it's done. It's done.
I love the hypocrisy.
Especially if you ask me out. Like, that's the
thing. I love the hypocrisy in that, because, you know, people need to be clear. Do you want to be treated equal or do you want to be treated the same? Because I've always said, I'm not interested in equal. I want to treat you the same. So if the archetype is men must pay 50% and we're looking to get to this dream world called equal, pay 50%.
Yeah, you see, I don't.
You must be very clear.
Yeah, I don't
equal
believe,
or the
no,
same.
I think you've never heard those "I want to be equal" from my lips in a relationship setup. No. If you ask me out on a date, do I expect you to pay? Yes. I also have the same mentality. If I ask you out, if I say Mulelo, let's go out for ice cream. In my mind, I expect.
I don't need
to pay.
Ice cream. I'm 8% body fat, but I get the analogy. Oh,
you see, this is why it wouldn't work. But I'm just saying that if I'm the one who initiated that, I then, like, I would pay.
Listen.
But if you are like, yeah, Sims, let's go out 7:30 tonight, I get all dressed and I'm ready to rock and roll. And then afterwards, you're like 50-50. Chief, I'm done. I'll pay. Sharp. But I'm done with you. I'm done.
I'm the same. I don't look at relationships as equal because I don't know it from your point of view. If I'm going to offer to take you out on a date, then I'm offering to pay. It's part of the deal. If I ask you to come with me on a weekend away and you say, awesome, then I'm paying because I've invited you. There's no mystery there. You don't have to have a conversation about it. I expect that I'm going to pay because I invited you. And if you invite me, I'm bringing my wallet, like Simpiwe said, because I'm not going to be caught in a situation where you go, oh, I left my wallet, and then it's embarrassing for all of us. But I'll make the decision after that as to whether or not it's worth me hanging around you again. But as a guy, I don't see things as being equal. Guys have to pay. That's how I was raised. That's how I like the world. That's how I'm going to keep doing my thing. And if you're one of those ultra egalitarian, equality obsessed, equity obsessed feminists, then I'm not going to date you anyway. So what the hell do we have to do with each other? I'm not. There's no equality. I think equality's backside. I've said it a million times on this show. I think that this obsession with equality is the most dangerous thing in the world right now, because it's completely completely unattainable. It's utopian in the extreme. It never works. It's not going to happen with me. You like that stuff? I'm not your guy.
I don't want to treat you equal. I want to treat you the same. So if you're saying
that
men and women must be treated the same,
what does that even
pay
mean?
50%. No, pay 50%. I'm not in this world where, first of all, do you work? If you don't work, it's a non-starter for me. I don't come from that background where women don't work in my household. So
I think
that ain't going to work. I don't find that attractive.
Your ploy to chase away everyone who's ever loved you, Mbulelo, is working really well this morning.
This is unbelievable. And by the way, my friend is maybe your one of your biggest fans of all time, Gareth, and she will be listening to this. And I told her I was going to tell the story. She said, no, don't tell it, blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to say it again.
You've just said I'm trying to chase her away.
Your friend is a generous human being. If she was an idiot and she was taken advantage of, that's the price you pay for generosity. I would rather be called generous and occasionally be taken advantage of than be a schnorrer who never spends money, who expects everyone else to pay, who never takes out their own wallet, and people go, ugh, you do not want to know that guy. He is so about money. I'd rather be a generous fool any day of the week. So your friend is the kind of person I could date, not you. You are the kind of person who's, yes, hard work. Everything with you is hard work. It's like a board meeting just to decide what is going to happen in your next 5 minutes of the relationship. Yes. And then you disappear for soccer for 6 months, but that's okay.
Imagine! Yeah. And then he's going to come back and be like, but you knew, and then everything must be fine. And then
I told you upfront. I told you upfront. You knew upfront that football comes first, and you get the halftime break.
Great that you are specializing, you are vocalizing your needs, but other people also have needs that they need to be met, you know? And I think that's the one thing you miss. It's like, great, you're into sports, but there's other people that are not, and you just kind of need to meet them halfway now and again. That's all we say. Have a bit of a heart, which you clearly don't have.
Guys, it's
I love that you think nobody exists who does fit into my archetype. They are everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Just so you know.
Here's the problem, Sipiwe. It's Mbulelo's world and we all just live in it.
You couldn't have said it better.
All right. Listen, we've got to call this quits because we're well over time now. CliffCentral.com, thank you for joining us this morning. If you have had a happy time, let us know by subscribing and liking and all of that stuff that you have to do on YouTube. If you listen to the podcast, obviously you can listen whenever you want. And we will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. bright and early for the live show. Don't miss it. This is a Wednesday morning podcast, and it will be available forever, like all good podcasts are, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get the good stuff. Also, make sure that you listen to Yaku's podcast, because if you've missed out on that, you are missing out, especially if you've got a new business, small business, medium business, maybe you've been going for a while, and you need a bit of a leg up. Yaku and his team are looking forward to giving you exactly that as a part of the Unbundled series and something new that we're launching there with them in the next week or two. Contact at cliffcentral.com if you want to get hold of us. Cheers, everybody. Have a happy day and be good.
Cliffcentral.com.